Amen. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Amen. We are redeemed. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We are redeemed, redeemed, redeemed. Thank you, Jesus. All of us that are born again have been redeemed. Even those that are not saved yet have been redeemed. They just have to receive it. Jesus redeemed the whole world. Even though the whole world won't receive him, the whole world won't take the benefit of it, but yet he did it for the whole wide world. He did it for all of us. So we thank you this morning that we are redeemed. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. We're redeemed from death. We're redeemed from sickness and disease. We have redeemed from fear. We are redeemed. We're redeemed from all our sins. We have been redeemed. Amen. May everybody make me want to teach on being redeemed. Amen. Amen. I'm going to go to the Word of God. We're going to have our announcements and all of that on the end so that I can get my recording right. But I want to start a series on God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. And this morning I want to teach on the person of Holy Spirit. The person of Holy Spirit. The person of Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But you know what? We neglect God the Holy Spirit so much. Out of all the three in the Trinity, we neglect Holy Spirit. We neglect him. He has been given for us. He's there with us. But we ignore him. We don't listen. We don't invite him in. We don't acknowledge him. A lot of times we don't ask him to help us, you know, to bring things to our remembrance, to show us what we lack in the areas of our lives. You know, Holy Spirit is there. Jesus gave us Holy Spirit. So this morning I want to teach on the person of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to the Gospel of John 14:26. The Gospel of John 14:26. And this is the New King James Version. I think the King James Version is going to say Comforter. And we're going to talk about all the different ways the Holy Spirit is identified. And one thing about the Holy Spirit, he's identified by what he does and who he is. John 14:26. But the Helper or the Comforter. Helper's in the New King James, and King James says Comforter. But the Comforter or the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. This is Jesus talking to the disciples. The Father's going to send the Holy Spirit in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, all things that I said to you. Do you know you cannot even read and understand the Word of God without the Holy Spirit? We need the Holy Spirit. We should engage Holy Spirit when we read the Bible. So the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. He's called the Advocate. He's called the Counselor. He's called the Helper. He's called the Spirit of Truth. He's also called the Teacher and the Guide. So he's our Comforter. He's our Advocate. He's our Counselor. He's our Helper. He's the Spirit of Truth. He's also the Teacher, our Teacher, and our Guide. And like I said before, the Holy Spirit is God and part of the Trinity. Jesus described the work of the Spirit to Nicodemus as like the wind. That's in John 3:8. And so the Holy Spirit is like the wind. Maybe that's why we have a problem with the Holy Spirit, because there's no, I don't know, he glorifies Jesus. He don't glorify himself. And it's easy to not recognize something or not acknowledge something unless it all of a sudden shows up and you feel it or you see it. Jesus described the work of the Spirit to Nicodemus as like the wind, John 3:8. You can't see the wind. You hear the sound, but cannot tell where it comes or where it goes. This morning is a very windy morning. And the wind was blowing and the wind was cold. I felt the coldness from the wind. I didn't know where it was coming from. Didn't know where it was going. I just knew the wind was hitting me and making me cold. So I felt the effects of the wind. So we don't see the Holy Spirit. We can't not tell where it comes from or where it goes, but we can also see and feel the results of the Holy Spirit. Just like we feel and see the results of the wind, we see the results and we can feel the results of the Holy Spirit. Jesus also said that the Holy Spirit was what? Living rivers of living water flowing from our heart. That's in John 7:37-39. And we're going to read that. He said the Holy Spirit was rivers of living water flowing from our hearts. Let's look at John 7:37. John 7:37. We're going to read a few verses. I'm going to read three verses. John 7:30. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. The Gospel of John 7:37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." The Holy Spirit will get rid of thirst. If you're thirsty for God's presence, the Holy Spirit will quench that thirst. If you're thirsty for the Word of God and you begin to read the Word of God, Holy Spirit will quench that thirst. If you're thirsting for relationship, if you're thirsting for companionship, whatever you're thirsting for, Jesus said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Drink of the Holy Spirit. Then verse 38 said, He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Holy Spirit flows out of our hearts. Once we allow him in, we drink. But now, if you ain't drunk nothing, you can't have very much to come out. That don't mean you're not born again, but you ain't drinking. If you ain't drinking, then you don't have anything to flow out. So how do we drink? We drink him in when we stay in his presence. When we pray and spend time with the Holy Spirit, spend time with the Lord, we're drinking in, we're drinking in. When we get still and silent and listen for him and surrender, we are drinking him in. We're drinking him in our secret place. We're drinking him in. When we minister to the Lord, we're drinking him in. We're drinking him in. When we read the Word of God, we are drinking Holy Spirit in. We're drinking him in. And the more you drink in, the more you have to flow out. And the Word of God said rivers of living water. Rivers of living water, not just a pond. Well, a pond can't flow. But rivers of living water, not just one river, but rivers of living water will flow from us. But the Word of God said we got to drink. We got to drink. If we're thirsty, we got to drink. If I'm thirsty for Jesus, then I can't watch TV 5 or 6 hours a day. That's not going to quench my thirst. But if I'm thirsty for him, then I'm going to get in the Word of God. I'm going to read the Word of God. I'm going to spend time with him so that I can drink of him. And I'm drinking. And then when those rivers need to flow, they will flow. Rivers of living water. When we need to speak a word to somebody or pray for somebody or lay hands on somebody, those rivers of living water will flow. How do I know Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit? Verse 39. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. He was telling them about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that they would receive because he had not yet been given. because Jesus was not yet glorified. In other words, Jesus said, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you like orphans. I am coming again. How did he come again? He came again in the person of the Holy Spirit. He came again in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God tells us, and we're going to go with that more detail later, but the Holy Spirit tells us we are not to what? We're not to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. We are not to quench the Holy Spirit. We are not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Most people are so concerned about blaspheming the Holy Spirit because the Bible said there's no repentance for that. But most of us, majority of us, we don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. It's quenching him that we have a problem with, grieving him. So how do we quench the Holy Spirit? When the Holy Spirit is leading us to do something or say something or wants us to come and cooperate with him in some way, and we draw back and we say no. I remember in my life in the past, I'll be watching television. I would be enjoying my show, whatever the show was. And the Holy Spirit be prompting me, come with me, read your Bible. Come with me, do this. And I'm saying, my flesh said, no, I want to do this. I don't want to stop now. I'll do it later. That's quenching the Holy Spirit. That's quenching the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit asks us to do something, or we grieve the Holy Spirit with sin. I mean, I probably was quenching and grieving. I was doing a double whammy. But when the Holy Spirit tells us to lay down sin or stop something, or he see a habit in us that takes us away from God, or he see us doing something that comes between our relationship with God and him, then that grieves the Holy Spirit, because he'll keep trying to get us to let that thing go. And the more we don't let it go, the more we grieve the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about some of the things that John 14:26 said that the Holy Spirit was in a more deeper detail. John 14:26 called the Holy Spirit comforter or helper. And that's the Parakletos. In the Greek, that's Parakletos. And that means several things. It means comforter, intercessor, consoler, advocate. And in the Thayer's dictionary, it means summon, call to one's side, especially call to one's aid. I love Holy Spirit. But I guess the one thing about Holy Spirit that I really have learned to really rely on now, right now, this season of my life, is helper. And so that's call to one side, especially call to one's aid. What is it that you're having trouble with this morning? What is it that you've been trying to do, but you just can't seem to get it done, or just it's not working out right? You just don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. You don't know where to go. Holy Spirit is your helper. He's the one called to your side. He's the one called there to aid you. He's the helper. He's the succorer. And that succorer, S-U-C-C-O-R-E-R, is someone who gives help in times of need or distress or difficulty. Someone who gives aid or assistance. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our helper, for being the one that we need help with in a time of need, for being there with us when we need you. All we have to do is just rely on the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit was destined to take the place of Christ with the apostles. After his ascension, after Jesus' ascension to the Father, the Holy Spirit came down. He told them, go to the Jerusalem. First, he told them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And they received the Holy Spirit. They were born again, but then they still had to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit had to come upon them. So Jesus told them, go to Jerusalem. Stay there until the Holy Spirit comes and you've been endued with power from on high. And so that's what they did. That's what they did. And when the Holy Spirit came, he led them into a deeper knowledge of truth. He gave them divine strength needed and to enable them to undergo trials and persecution on behalf of the divine kingdom. How do you think the apostles went through what they went through? How do you think people today go through persecution? How do you think they were able to die and stay faithful to Jesus and call on his name? How do you think the martyrs, those that they put and they burned that on a stake and everything, and they still did not deny Christ? How did they go through that? How did the disciples get whipped and beat and come out of that place rejoicing that they were able to suffer shame for his name? They did it because of the strength of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave them strength to go through that. He aided them. He was there with them. I want y'all to say with me, and I want the Zoom people to say this after me, and say, Holy Spirit, you're with me right now. You're my helper right now. Amen. He's our helper. He's our helper. He comforts us. He encourages us. He exhorts us. He comforts us. He encourages us. He exhorts us. And it's okay to say, Holy Spirit, I sure need some encouragement right now. Holy Spirit, I sure need some comfort right now. Holy Spirit, I feel kind of low. Will you come and help build me up? Will you give me a scripture or give me something to help me build myself up? Will you build me up, Holy Spirit? Will you build me up? Amen. 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 Let's look at John 16:7. John 16:7. We're going to do 7 all the way down to 11. Well, all the way down to 14, I think. 15. So let's go to John 16:7. And the word of God said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is, and I'm going to read from the King James Version. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient or beneficial for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. When Jesus was here on the earth with the disciples, he could only be at one place at one time. If he was with one group of disciples, he could not be with the other group of disciples. If he went to be with that group of disciples, he couldn't be with the other group. Because he was limited by his human body. He was limited by his human body. But he told the disciples, it's beneficial for you or expedient for you that I go away. Because when I go away, I will send the Comforter unto you. And that's who we're talking about. Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And think about this. I am so glad we got the Holy Spirit. Sometimes some people think they'd rather have Jesus here with them than have the Holy Spirit. But if he came the way if he never went away, or if he came back in bodily form like he was, he's not going to do that because he got a glorified body now. But he's limited. When he was here on earth, he was limited, like I said. But now with the Holy Spirit, it's unlimited. He can be with Donna Ray at his house, Mary at her house, me at my house. He can go around and visit Latasha and Roxanne and Robert and Ed and Mary. He can be with us all the time through the Holy Spirit. All the time through the Holy Spirit. So it was expedient for him for Jesus to go away. It was beneficial for us for him to go away and send the Holy Spirit. And let's look at verse 16:8. And there's one thing about the Holy Spirit we don't think about very often. But did you not know, not only is the Holy Spirit working in the lives of believers, but he was also sent into the world to work into the lives of the world? Holy Spirit is working right now. He's working in the lives of unbelievers. He's working in other countries. He's all over the world working and bringing about God's plan. And he's watching out for the saints of God. Verse 8 says, and when he is come, talking about Holy Spirit, He will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. What does reprove mean? Reprove means to confute, to overwhelm in argument. It means, and we got plenty of people nowadays that saying, oh, the Bible's not true. Oh, Jesus ain't the only way. Oh, this and that about the Bible. Oh, there is no God. If God was here, why is he letting this happen? So what's Holy Spirit here to do? He's here to confute, to overwhelm in argument, to bring the truth to those areas where truth is needed and where somebody wants to hear the truth. He admonishes, he convicts or convinces. He convinces people of sin. He tells a fault. He rebuked, he reproved. He proved to be guilty. He convinced of error or sinfulness. So the Holy Spirit is here. And before people get saved, before we got saved, we probably said, oh, I'm all right. Oh, I'm all right. I ain't as bad as this one. I ain't as bad as that one. I don't do like this one. I don't do like that one. But the Holy Spirit is here to convince us and to prove us guilty and to convince us of our error and sinfulness. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, people wouldn't even believe that sin was sin. And some of them still don't believe it. But the Holy Spirit is here to convince of error and sinfulness. He convicts the world of sin. Sometimes people think he's just here to convince the believer of sin. No. He's here to, just like the scripture says, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. The world. Convince the world of its sinfulness. Convince the world that sin is sin. And verse 16:9 says, of sin because they believe not on me. Why is he coming to convince the world of sin? Because they don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe on Jesus. Why is that so? Sin is a problem, or sin was a problem, but because of Jesus, actually sin is no more a problem if you receive Jesus. Sin is only a problem if you don't have Jesus. And so he's gonna reprove them of sin because what? They don't believe on Jesus. All the world has to do is believe on Jesus and receive forgiveness and deliverance from sin. And that's Holy Spirit's job. Holy Spirit's job is to reprove the world of sin. Convince the world of sin. Convince them that Jesus has come. He has solved the sin problem. A lot of time we're trying to convince people of stuff. We're trying to do stuff. And all we have to do is allow Holy Spirit to do it. We cannot convince people, but the Holy Spirit can. Give them the word of God. Allow Holy Spirit to do his job. Allow Holy Spirit to do the convincing. Allow Holy Spirit to do the reproving. Allow Holy Spirit to do that. We're not the Holy Spirit, so stop trying to be the Holy Spirit in people's lives. And allow Holy Spirit to do the work. And then verse 10 said of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. So how is Holy Spirit reproving the world of righteousness? Because Jesus was the only righteous one. He was the only one that lived out of the righteousness of God when he was here. He was the only one we can look at and see righteousness at work and see what it looks like for a person to know they're righteous and to walk in that righteousness. And he said, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. He goes to the Father because he was proven, he was righteous. He proved that righteousness because he died on the cross for us. And because he was righteous, he was able to what? Go to the Father. Go to the Father. And we won't see him no more, the Bible says. So the Holy Spirit convinces the world of righteousness. That righteousness truly is real. You really can be righteous. You really can live righteous because of Jesus. Because of Jesus and what he did. But you know what? Holy Spirit needed to convince the church of righteousness. He needs to convince us that we are righteous. We are righteous. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us so that we might be what? Made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Holy Spirit is all the time trying to get us to see that. Oh, I don't feel righteous. I don't look righteous. Do you remember what I did? Do you remember what I said? Do you remember what I thought? And the Holy Spirit saying, yeah, but you're still righteous because it had nothing to do with you. Jesus did it. Just receive what he did. Just receive what he did. It's the same thing when we battle sickness and disease, and we all do. I battle sickness and disease. When the sickness come on our body, oh, I don't feel good. I don't look good. This hurt. That ache. I can't do this. I can't do that. And the Holy Spirit saying, yeah, but look at Jesus. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? By his stripes, you're healed. Look at Jesus. Your healing is not in how you feel. Your healing is in Jesus and what he did. It's in Jesus what he did. I was coming from Pennsylvania yesterday because I went to, left Thursday morning to go to Pennsylvania. Altoona, they got some names, I tell you. Altoona, Pennsylvania, to see my grandson play football. And so sometimes I have trouble with my left leg, but not no ways like it was. You know, thank the Lord for healing. And he's still working on it for my complete healing. But I was in the car, and that leg started aching. It was raining, and it started aching. I said, this is what folks be talking about when they say the rain coming, they part of their body start aching. I said, this is not going to go. So I told my son, I said, turn the heat up some. And he should make it, so he turned the heat up. He turned the heat up, and it did feel better with the heat. But I kept not receiving it, but I kept resisting it, you know, in the name of Jesus. And we stopped to go to my son stopped to get some gas, and I got out and I walked around and everything. And you know, on the next part of that trip, my leg didn't give me no problems at all. You know, so I thank God. I thank God. I thank God. I thank God. So we got to learn on this journey not to receive what the enemy put on our bodies, not to receive it. It might take a while for your healing to manifest, but still don't receive it. Don't have a mindset. Don't have that not being healed mindset, and allow Holy Spirit to help us. Allow Holy Spirit to help us. So allow Holy Spirit to help you because he's here. He's here to convince us of righteousness. He's here to convince us of everything that Jesus has given us. And so 16:11 says of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Okay. There are people that don't believe that judgment is coming for those that don't know Jesus, but it is. And we need to know that what? Satan has already been tried. He's already been judged, sentenced. And the only thing left of the sentence has not been carried out yet, but it will be. It will be carried out. It will be carried out. There will be judgment. Judgment is coming. Let's look at 16:12, John 16:12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Next verse, howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, what will he do? He will guide you into all truth. So the Holy Spirit's job is to guide us into all truth. And he's a person. He guides us. He leads us. He tells us what we need to do and when we need to do it. He tells us and shows us what way we need to go, what we need to do to receive whatever we need to receive. If you're contending from something and it's not working, just the Holy Spirit, show me what I need to do. Show me where I'm erring and not going the right way in. Show me, Holy Spirit. So he guides us into all truth. And the next part of that says, for he shall not speak of himself or on his own authority. He does not speak on his own. He does not speak of himself. He does not speak on his own authority. But whatever he shall hear, whatever he hear Jesus and the Father saying, that shall he speak. He hears. He listened, and then he tells us. And he will show you things to come. He will show us things to come. So there's no reason for us to be in the dark when we have Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit shows us things to come. We just need to listen. We just need to listen. Listen, people, listen. I remember when I wasn't listening, but now I try my best to listen and hear Holy Spirit. I was hearing a testimony on YouTube about this lady's son. He was just 4 years old. 4 years old. But he grew up with a mother and father that knew God. He grew up hearing about the Lord. He grew up hearing about the Holy Spirit. And so he's 4 years old. And he told his daddy, told his mama, so mama, you're going to get pregnant. You're going to have a little girl. He said, no, he didn't say get pregnant. He said, you're pregnant. No, he said, you're getting ready to have a baby, and it's going to be a little girl. So she told her husband what the little boy said. He's 4 years old now, 4 years old. And so he told her, she told her husband what he said. He said, well, maybe you need to go take a pregnancy test. He went, took the test, and she was pregnant. Then when the baby was born, it was a little girl. Everybody was happy because you had this little girl. Everybody all happy. And the little boy, he just sitting there looking. So he said, so aren't you happy? He said, yeah, but I told y'all mama's going to have a little girl. And so the father had a hard time hearing God. He thought he didn't hear God as clearly as he wanted to hear him. So he asked the little boy, said, how did you know that? He said, God told me I heard it. He said, how did you hear it? He said, well, daddy said, sometimes God talk real loud. You ain't got no problem hearing me real loud. He said, then again, daddy, you got to really listen, because God talks softly sometimes. And he said, I was listening and God talked softly and I just stopped and heard him. And so the daddy told the 4-year-old boy, about, will you pray for me then so I can hear like you hear? So, you know, he will show us things to come. He will show us things to come. And we need to be to the place where we hear Holy Spirit, where we hear what God is saying through the Holy Spirit to us. To us. Because whatever he hear, that he will speak. And he will show us things to come. And all of us need to know what's coming a lot of times. Verse 14 says this, he shall glorify me. He shall glorify Jesus. For he shall receive of mine and show it or declare it unto you. He's going here. The Father glorified the Son, the Bible says. And then the Son glorified the Father. Well, the Word of God says the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. He shows and glorify there means he shows the value and the worth of Jesus. He shows us who Jesus is. He's going to receive from Jesus everything that belongs to Jesus. He's going to receive it. Then he's going to show it or declare it unto us. He's going to declare it unto us. And that 15th verse says this, all things the Father has are mine. Isn't that awesome? All things that Jesus had, that God has, belongs to Jesus. Everything that God, that belongs to God, belongs to Jesus. Everything that belongs, I'm going to say it again. Everything that belongs to God belongs to Jesus. And so then he said in the scripture, therefore the Holy Spirit should do what? He shall take everything that belonged to Jesus and declare it unto us. So there's nothing that God doesn't have that has not been, is not there ready to be declared unto us, but it's through the Holy Spirit. That's his job, to take everything that belonged to Jesus, everything that God has given to Jesus, and declare it unto us. Declare it unto us. Is there anything this morning that you need to know that belongs to you, because the Word of God says it belongs to you, then ask the Holy Spirit. He will declare it unto you. He will declare it unto you. Holy Spirit, I often say, Holy Spirit, how do I pastor this church? How do I follow you in this church? How do I do what you want me to do? How do I be and declare unto the people you? How do I do this? How? And the Holy Spirit's there to help us, because everything that is ours through Christ, he's waiting to declare it unto us. And we don't all receive the same way. We don't all go through the same trials and stuff. We don't always, we learn, me and my brother Donna was talking about this morning. We learn in different ways. So one way Holy Spirit might show me that it'll work for me, but when he showed Mary, it's going to work a different way because Mary's not me. So the Holy Spirit has to say, how can I reach Donna? How can I get Donna to see that he is a man of God? How can I get him to see that he is who Christ says he is? And if we listen, the Holy Spirit will show us that. And sometimes I say, okay, Holy Spirit, how do I receive what belongs to me? I know I'm healed because the Word of God says so, and I believe, but how do I receive that? How do I walk in that? How do I get to the place where that manifests in my body, Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, I've been trying to do this on my own, but it's just not working my way. So Holy Spirit, show me your way. Show me how to deal with this your way. Show me, Holy Spirit. Take the things of God. Take what God has for me. Take what God wants to give me, and show me, Holy Spirit, how to walk in this, how to manifest this, how to do this. Because Holy Spirit, I do not know, and I don't mind telling Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I do not know how to do this. I do not know how to walk this out. I don't know how to handle this situation. I don't know how to do this. So Holy Spirit, show me. What's God's plan, Holy Spirit? What's the best way for me to go? Holy Spirit, take what Jesus has, what the Father has given to Jesus, and declare all of that to me, Holy Spirit, because I want to know Jesus. I want to know Jesus, Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, I can't of my own self do nothing. But what I see the Father do, that's what I do. What I hear the Father say, that's what I say. How did Jesus do all that, Holy Spirit? How did he see what God was doing? Holy Spirit showed him. How did he hear what God was saying? Holy Spirit told him. Because the Word of God said the Holy Spirit came and when he was baptized, and it lighted on him like a dove, and it remained with him. It remained with him. The Word of God said he will never leave us nor forsake us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Stop going by how you feel. Feeling does not change the Word of God. If he said he would never leave, he has not left. David had to pray, you know, take not your Holy Spirit from me, but we don't have to pray that. God said he will never leave us nor forsake us. So Holy Spirit is right there. We're not listening to him all the time. We're not always aware of his presence, but he's there. If we just get in a corner by ourselves, just sit somewhere and get still, get rid of the distractions, and listen. And you might have to do it more than one time, but keep doing it. And you're going to hear Holy Spirit. You're going to hear Holy Spirit. Once he knows that you want to listen, he knows you want to hear. He knows you want to spend time with him. He's going to be ready to spend time with you, ready to talk to you, ready to be there to help you in whatever area you need to be helped in. Because what? He's our helper. He's our helper. He's our comforter. He's our advocate. He pleads the case for us. He's there for us, and he helps us. So, God, we thank you this morning for the person of the Holy Spirit. He takes everything that belongs to Jesus and shows it to us. So Holy Spirit, this morning, we thank you for being there for us and with us. We thank you for being our helper, our guide, our comforter, our advocate. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being everything to us that the Word of God says you are. We thank you. We thank you, Father God, for Holy Spirit. We thank you for Jesus. Holy Spirit, we want to get to know you. We want you to be our friend because you want to be our friend while we're here on earth. So God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit this morning. We thank you for all those that are hearing the word of God this morning. We give you praise, Father God. We magnify your name. And we say thank you, Father God, for your word this morning. Ah, yes. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. God, we so thank you for giving us yourself through the person of the Holy Spirit. We say thank you. We say thank you. And Father God, we repent of every time we didn't hear Holy Spirit. Every time we quenched him or grieved him, we repent. And from now on, God, help us to hear. Help us to yield. Help us surrender. Help us give ear to what the Holy Spirit is saying. To follow the Holy Spirit. To give her our way of doing things. Our way of pursuing things. But hear Holy Spirit and what he's saying. Because whatever he's saying, he's hearing it from you. That's what your word told us. So God, this morning we say thank you for Holy Spirit. And Father God, forgive us for those times we try to be Holy Spirit in somebody's life. Because we cannot do that. We want to depend and rely on you, Holy Spirit, to do what God desires for you to do in that person's life. And God, we thank you that we have eyes this morning to see and ears to hear whatever you're saying. And we bless these your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.